All right, you ready? But why are your mic down there like that?
Because I feel important leaning into the mic.
Can you adjust your mic, please? Oh, my, Eva.
That's how I see Howard Stern do it.
What do you know about Howard Stern?
Well, I know about some Howie. Snap. What's up, Howie?
Yeah. All right, you ready? I'm doing the new one.
Let's get started. Oh, yeah, my lock journey.
Exactly.
Wait, please. Hey.
It's a podcast.
Hey. Chicken. Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
Get it. Get it.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Hey.
We desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up. That is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on.
So without...
Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
I am used to you ending without further ado.
No. You're used to me after I read it saying that.
Well, you should have put that in the script.
Okay, you want me? I can redo the script again.
Never mind.
No, I mean,
I'll just
I can
say it without further ado.
Let's get started. What's up, y'all? Had another great conversation
a
for you all. Follow up to part one. A little bit ago, we did Why Did I Get Married? The movie, part one. Mm-hmm. And we went over the characters in the movie and how it relates to marriages and relationships in these days and made the whole conversation practical. And now we are back for the next rendition, part two, mm-hmm, of Why Did I Get Married? But before we get started, babe, how you feeling? You good?
Good. I just want to let Tyler Perry know, if you think about coming out with a part three or a sequel to Patricia, you know, with her and The Rock, you know, think about us.
That would be a horrible...
What?
That would be a horrible...
She has to process. I don't want to jump ahead.
Well, why'd you even say that? That's triggering. You shouldn't have said that.
It's triggering to you?
It's triggering.
I'm just saying, if there's a part three, look at the single tense. That's all I'm saying. We coming in that thing. We have a storyline.
Lord have mercy. I don't want nothing to do with...
I want everything
Patricia
to do with
anything.
Why?
She might come jumping,
to...
We jumping
ahead.
Hey, I
got the storyline. She may come to the Love Life Legacy Counseling. Not counseling, sorry. We have a coaching service.
Yeah.
She might come to us for coaching.
The psychologist
she need
of
coaching
relationships.
Too.
First of all, she can't even coach herself, seeing we getting ahead.
That's why need to be the coaches.
She wouldn't even listen to her husband. She's going to come to
us. We already have a PowerPoint presentation ready.
Lord have mercy.
I
want people that are willing to
grow. She will be willing.
Grow.
For The Rock? She ain't willing. No, I'm not saying anything about Malik Yoba.
What was his name in the movie?
I don't know. He was some philanthropist. But for The Rock? Shoot.
Nah, we good. Nah.
How you mean?
Mr. Perry. First of all, I saw a video of your mansion. I hope to be like you one day.
Yeah.
You are a
can
extreme
I sweep the
inspiration.
Floor. That's it.
I mean, oh my gosh, man.
I cut the grass with scissors?
I just want a tour. I just want a tour.
I don't even need a tour. Can I clean the light bulb? That's it. Me, I got churn. I got kids. We can all, you know, dust. Well, some got allergies. But we would go do that to clean your mansion.
That is a fact, bro. That it is so gorgeous. So big ups. Big kudos. Maybe I'm late to the party on the mansion. But, man, I saw
that
video and
inspired we support.
Me.
So, you know, we kind of contributed.
We did.
Yeah, you know, we went to all
so
the
So does
movies.
That make us investors?
I think we invested. You know, we was on since the plays my grandmama used to like, but you know, so we a part of that.
We a part of it.
That's right.
That's right. Man, let's dive into this conversation, man. All right. So this is part two.
Mm-hmm.
Question. Which one do you like better overall?
Which one?
Which movie? Part one or part two?
I don't know. You should have asked me this before. I have to think. Which movie do I like better? I think I got to go with one. If I have to make a decision right now on the spot, it would be one.
Me too. Yeah, one just, it's it did a little bit better job at introducing the characters, in my opinion.
Well, you didn't need to be introduced for part two.
I know, but nothing really changed for part two. So that's why I didn't like part two at all. The characters kind of still operated in the same bag. They all still dealt with the same issues. Nothing really was discussed and amplified. Like, we really honestly still don't know what happened to Gavin and Patricia. They didn't do a good job.
He died.
No, I'm talking about the breakdown in the marriage and the relationship. They already were dealing with that in the beginning.
I think part two revealed that. But
anyways, let's talk about it. So, okay. Mike and Sheila. Yes, Mike and Sheila.
Okay, not anything against... Okay, first of all, it was heartbreaking. Not heartbreaking. It was just a good feel moment of seeing Mike. They were already in Jamaica, and Sheila came down to make Troy breakfast, and Mike was outside.
I said it wrong. Why you correct me? Sheila and Troy. It's not Mike and Sheila.
No, I want to talk Mike and Sheila first.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Mike was outside having his morning coffee, and he came into the kitchen trying to reminisce with Sheila. And he was talking about their first apartment or first house. And he was talking about the pink tile in the bathroom and the green carpet and the yellow. He thought the walls were orange. And he was like, you know, enjoying the moment of his perspective of what the relationship looked like. Because he is thinking about all the good times that they had or whatever. And then Sheila was like, I remember. You know, I remember the hole in the yellow. You know how I remember the wall was yellow? Because the hole, when you pushed me into it, you know, when, you know, I couldn't clean the pink tile enough, you know, when my nose was bleeding because of the blood. And I think she said it was a stain or something on the carpet that she couldn't get out.
That was the blood.
The blood was on the tile too or something.
Okay.
But to see his eyes just, the overwhelming sadness that came on Mike when Sheila took the same story, the same house that he thought was bliss and was reminding him of good times. Like, he saw the bad times. It's right. Like, he blocked himself from that or whatever. Right. And then, like, him trying to approach her to sincerely apologize, you know.
Well, first of all, because you said that when we watched it last night, he didn't sincerely apologize and approach. He said, I'm sorry, I miss you. That's not a sincere apology for what you did. That is a, I'm saying sorry because I want you back.
No, I get that. I think because life had hit Mike, you know, and his health was declining. You know, sometimes we don't know what people rock bottom is going to look like to make them come to. And I think he was coming to that point.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I still think he apologized for selfish reasons. I don't think that he apologized because he was sincerely sorry. I think he apologized because he knew he was about to die. And he wanted Sheila by his side because he didn't have anybody to take care of him. And later on in the movie, that's why you see him come back and say, I need your help. He didn't have nobody else to go to. He had to go to Sheila.
No, he could have hired somebody. Mike had
that's
money.
My point. So he didn't apologize in sincerity.
No, I think
he apologized because he apologized because he was dying, and that goes further into
what
his character.
What if dying is somebody's rock bottom?
Then you still have to be held accountable to your decisions.
I'm pretty sure he could have paid Trina to keep up with the shenanigans.
Exactly, and he didn't
because he wanted to make things right.
No, he wanted her back in spite of ignoring everything that he put her through. So
he didn't see it.
Exactly. So that's, again, selfish. You only want this lady back because you feel like you're missing out on something that you had and you let it go. As a matter of fact, you didn't just let it go. You abused it, misused it, and mistreated it.
I'm with
and
you.
I'm
not excusing his actions.
Exactly. And that's what we see a lot in relationships. And it's like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And his character displayed that. And now all of a sudden, now that you see your 20%, and you first saw it in Trina, now you've seen it in your life, now you want to go back and get the 80. Well, how about you work hard to cherish the 80? How about your perspective of the relationship is supposed to be, maybe it needs to evolve. Maybe you need to see it for what it really is. It's not all fairy tales. You're not the trophy like you think you are. Maybe you just need to broaden your perspective like a lot of people don't do. His character is what I see in real life a lot.
Oh, yeah, because that's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the attitude and the pride of what we would label high-value men. Mm. Because Mike had money, you know, whatever his firm is that he did or whatever. And even the ladies made reference to, you know, Sheila, you know, being used to the money that Mike had or whatever. And high value men do that. Like, how much time have we seen, you know, Kevin Samuels say things like, you know, because ideally Sheila was this big lady.
Right.
High value men don't want that.
Right.
He wants the skinny, pretty one that goes to the gym, like Trina didn't cook and do all those things. And that's why when Mike said he missed her cooking, she was like, I ate a lot of it by myself. Self. You know what I'm saying? Because that high value man attitude, I can have who I want, get who I want. You know, I don't have to deal with you or whatever. And I that's another reason why I felt like Mike's apology was genuine, not because he missed her, is because at that moment his money didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, okay, so now that life is humbling me, you know, and I need a ride from chemo or whatever, now I have to face the rhythm that, you know, the luxury that I once lived or whatever, and my connections, you know, can't get me past this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the attitude of high value men. You have some people coaching other people, coaching women, that if they want a high value man, you know, to compromise, you know, what they would expect in a relationship.
But you know that all that stuff is
superficial.
It's superficial.
Yeah.
Because it focused primarily on the tangibles. People that have the conversations, the circular conversation around high value men and these women that want them, everything is always related to tangible, yeah, outward things. And they never focus on the intangible things. I have never yet heard a high value, quote unquote, because people deem themselves high value. It's like somebody claiming that they are king when they're really not. Anyways.
We all kings and queens.
Man, I don't want to hear that mess. anyways, they only focus on the tangible things. They never speak on the intangible, the things that really mean something, your character, your integrity, your morality, how you're able to speak life into people, your leadership abilities, your self-reflection, your personal accountability. None of those things are spoken about.
Yeah.
Everything is spoken about money and work and assets and what can you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, it's exhausting. Shut up. And like your money doesn't make you a better person. It only amplifies who you really are on the inside.
Yeah.
And if that's the only thing that you continue to point to, you're a shallow individual.
And that's a good segue into my thoughts of Sheila and Troy.
Mm.
Because, you know, when Troy was on top, you know, his, you know, living off
on top, how?
On his assets of his father. You know, he was
rich. You missed the joke. Hey, you missed it. Oh, come on. Come on. Now the door was open. On top aisle. Anyways, go ahead.
You know, managing his father's, you know, using that rental property or whatever and having the store, you know, he didn't have any financial troubles because you just said, you know, money has a way of bringing out who you are. You mm-hmm. know, we see some anger that Troy can display.
Right.
You know, Troy got a little temper. Mm-hmm. You know, when, you know, things don't go his way. And I'm not saying nobody in their right mind wouldn't be angry not having a job and the stresses of finances. So you have, you know, on one spectrum, she's used to, you know, always being provided for. Because when they moved to Atlanta, I see her say she filled out applications, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know, they never said if she worked or not.
No, she ain't worked. The work she did is when she worked in Troy's store. When she got that up and running.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, you're right,
Sheila
you're right.
ain't never been a way maker. And that's why she was so connected to Mike, because she was like, what am I going to do
without him? I have nothing.
I got $80-something, yeah, you know, left in my account.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
So it's like, it's not like you was willing to, you know, really build yourself.
That's true.
You know, on your own. So, you know, Troy saying he got the mortgage back in Colorado to pay, the mortgage here, and being stressed out. You know what I'm saying? So back to my point. Money revealed, you know, who Troy really can be.
Right.
Right. In the same way how, you know, money revealed who Mike really can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I had appreciate the end scene when Mike called Troy back to have a drink because, you know, he was making peace with, you know, with the situation.
After he stirred everything up.
Well, no, he didn't. I don't think Mike would have reached out to Sheila if Sheila first, another point to Sheila, did not reach out to Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, that connections that you had through Mike, you only used it because you knew Mike wanted you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so now
you're talking about she reached out to get Troy a job.
To get Troy a job.
But the hold up, the connection started before then. Why did Mike come to Bahamas?
Because Mike said, I paid in this timeshare.
Yeah, but he came to be messy.
Well, he came he to didn't be respect, connected
He didn't
with
respect
his
their marriage. No, he didn't
he
respect
did
their marriage.
He did not respect their marriage. And he showed I do that. Give that.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
No, he shouldn't have came. That was foul.
Okay, I get that. He shouldn't have came. I can agree with you that. But what happened is that he came.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And nobody left.
Of course, everybody paid, but he should have been man enough to not even come.
Janet and had $900,000+ in the account. They could have went somewhere else.
And while he was there, he didn't keep it about the trip. Every opportunity that he got, he brought up Sheila.
Yeah.
So she don't talk to me. And then they was trying to get Marcus
to say, you know what I'm saying,
on the boat. But just like how, even on that boat scene, Troy didn't go on the boat.
Mm-mm.
Because Troy, he respected that there were tension and he wasn't going to put himself in the tensious. Is tensious a word?
I'll take it.
Contentious environment.
You abbreviate it. I mean, not abbreviate it. You shorten the word.
Shorten the word?
That's what you do this generation. You don't say the whole thing.
Facts.
Yeah.
Fire. They don't even say fire no more. They say fire.
Okay.
And anyways. But yeah, he didn't put himself in a contentious situation. So he didn't go on the boat fishing. And I feel like Mike found ways to be disrespectful to Sheila in every moment while being selfish, trying to get her back, even though she had already moved on with a child and was happy. And, you know, and then used the excuse. It is the excuse of cancer. For why he needed her specifically back in his life.
No, I get that.
Yeah, no, he was foul on every moment.
He was, but it does not alleviate Sheila for not being foul, for still going to him for help.
No, and I agree with that. Okay, and piggybacking on that, how do you feel about Sheila not respecting Troy's wishes about keeping their business private?
Sheila talks too much.
She talks too much.
But, you know, she got too much time on her hands.
Right.
I don't know, but...
So how does that relate to, you know, women in marriages then?
I don't think I'm the person that answer this question.
You have to be. We relate in their characters to marriages.
Okay, how can I explain this?
Okay.
There are certain things that my friends tell me that I do not tell Jonathan. Oops, I'm dropping the bottle.
Can I have my stress ball?
Well, there are just certain things. But then there are other certain things that I tell my friend I will not tell Jonathan, and I tell Jonathan. Okay? Because we're one, you know? And then there are things that my friends, I don't know, things that I may share with my friends, I share with the expectancy that they might share, you know? But for that group, Sheila was like, they're her friends she trusts. I don't blame Sheila for still oversharing, even though they weren't Troy friends, because that's kind of like what us girls do.
Right.
And that's what the boys do. As soon as they got on the boat, you know, Mike wanted to know what everybody was saying, because
that's
how it happens. And
that's true.
In relationships,
Gavin was the one that said, you know, and he doesn't have a job. So,
yeah.
So you think it was more of Troy's pride than anything?
Definitely his pride, because, you know, I'm on this trip. The ex come, I know he got money and I ain't got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that.
So you think Troy was wrong with not allowing his wife to be there to kind of aid him in his insecurity of not having a job or just taking it too personal or too serious? You feel like he was wrong?
In my personal opinion, I think he overreacted, but I'm not a man.
Right.
But I know if I need a job and one of your exes had access to give it to me, I'm taking it.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, because you asked a question on the couch. You was like, well, for men, why is it so serious? Well, it's because men value respect at a high tier, very, very high tier.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard men say, and I can agree, you know, I don't think I really broke it down so I can divulge in the differences. To know if what side I stand on more. But I've heard men say that they would rather be respected than loved in their relationship. Like, yeah. They would rather be respected than loved. They want both, but if they could choose, they would be respected.
Mm-hmm.
So That's why it matters so much.
So we gonna we don't want
anybody to have an advantage over us to throw it back up in our face.
No, I get
because
that.
Because life is like war. It's literally like it's chess. Who has the advantage? Who can predict the next move? And how can I make sure that I block your prediction of the next move? And with men, because we are built on ego and pride, we are. We really are. And that's what makes us so great. we would rather not deal with another man who has been with our lady to help us out in any manner, especially if that man doesn't respect me or my relationship and that lady leaving.
I get that.
It's like the protect aspect of the man. We're supposed to protect and provide. That falls under the tier of protection. So I don't want that man who I am treating and looking at as an intruder to the house of my marriage to come in any way, shape, or form. I don't care why he's coming in. He could be coming in to repair the roof because it's leaking. I will find somebody else. Because while he's in here, I have to now be on guard in protect mode because he does not mean good while he's fixing my roof. He could be trying to sneak in the room. He could be trying to hit on you. He could be trying to harm you because that is exactly how Mike treated their relationship. So no man would want another guy who has had that much access to his lady to come in at all whatsoever.
I get that. I'm not disputing that. And let me add a caveat to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'll take any old job if your ex hired me or whatever. I'm not saying that either because us women, we have attitude issues and all of that. I'm not saying we expect respect in the same way. But what I am saying, if I'm in a bind and we're about to lose our house and whatever, I will eat that humble pie until something else happens.
Well, we're built different.
I know. We're built different. Because for me, my protection, I don't care if you protecting your ego or trying to protect me in other ways. If you can't protect me financially, then you ain't going to get the love or respect.
I'm doing the best I can. And
that's,
I'm trying
the best
to.
Isn't enough.
Okay.
Because at that point, if there's an opportunity that's presented itself and you're declining it, to me, that's not your best. That you may feel as though that's your best, but that doesn't mean I have to accept your best.
Well, as my support system, you continue to
support. Well, you're
my support
system too. So therefore,
this is what I meant. You continue to support in me giving my best and looking. You do not go back.
I agree.
And create more debt. I mean, look at Sheila and Mike as debt.
Uh-huh.
The relationship was so tumultuous, it put them in debt with mm-hmm. each other and how the breakdown in the marriage happened, right? She went and compounded more debt by asking for a favor for her new husband.
No, I get
because
that.
Now Mike has the advantage to now come and enforce that debt anytime he wants to. Hey, well, you know you owe me because I got your husband a job.
And I think that's what he did by asking her to do that, and going
to Troy and saying, well, you know you ain't nothing because you needed my help. So not only did you take my wife, now I'm putting money in your pocket.
No, I get that.
Babe, you can't do that.
Okay.
So it's not about...
But did you die?
Say what?
But are you going to die?
Babe, sometimes when a spirit dies, it's worse than a physical death.
No, because you can come back.
Not always.
Well, I don't know.
Not always.
I'm saying,
I agree,
Sheila was wrong for initiating that.
But
I'm saying, after all of that, if it paying the bills, hold on to that until you find something else.
As it pertains to the differences of men and women, we have to really be cognizant on how we're built and respect how we're built.
I agree.
Okay. Y'all are very detailed and it irritates us because we can get to the point. But empathy calls us.
The point is the bills ain't getting paid.
No, that's not where I'm going at. The point is y'all, we like to get to the point and y'all can be very detail oriented. And empathy calls for me to not completely understand, but to accept how you are and flow with it. And then vice versa, we have things about us that y'all will never understand. But y'all don't have to understand it. Y'all just got to respect it. Let me find my own way. And if you want to help me in finding my own way, while even if the ship crash with me, Don't go and do something like that to go to an ex, and now I'm worrying about distrust. Well,
I would
anger
never go to an ex on you.
Yeah, we have to make sure we're supporting each other correctly in relationships.
Because I work. Sheila don't work.
Oh, that's what you mean. That's true.
Sheila don't bring anything to the table.
Yeah. Well, she had a baby. She couldn't work.
Dang, I have five.
Let's not go down that road. I'm telling you, man, the standards for men and women are in hell. Dang. It's just, it really is. Everybody is making excuses because nobody wants to own up to the point or to the fact that they are the problem.
Yeah.
You know, they want to focus on the other person. The man wants to focus on the woman. The woman wants to focus on the man. You're the problem, bro. You're complaining about women out here in the dating pool and all this because you don't want to be honest that you are the freaking problem. And women do the same thing. I don't feel like hearing it.
Sheila wanted to move. Sheila didn't have the expense to do it. Troy did that to satisfy his wife. And that's just that.
All right, Marcus.
They both have accountability.
Marcus and Angela.
Marcus and I don't have nothing to say.
I have nothing to say about Marcus and Angela.
Actually,
either.
Angela got on my nerves so much.
So bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Part two didn't do the characters justice, because in part one, at the end, they had vowed to stay faithful to each other, mm-hmm. and then Angela said, "I'm going to stop talking to you crazy. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to respect you," and she literally went back on all
what
of those
she
things.
Explained in the beginning of part two is that being married to Marcus just drives her to that point.
Yeah, well,
so last time I said I think Marcus and Angela would last the longest because unless you know Marcus leaves first, because they can be transparent about certain things. This time, and even thinking about my comment last time, I was like, maybe not. What pointed out to me this time that was not shown last time is the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the little boy was just, when she came on TV, he was just shaking his head like, "Mom, about to cut up. You know what I'm saying? And so what does that, raising kids in that environment where you're always yelling, always talking about cheating, always just all of that, like, mm-hmm. What are you planting into them?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I get it that, you know, the neighbor told her what was going on in the room or whatever, but she could have did the investigation part first. Is she some private detective? She know his resting heart rate. She know all of that. Well, you could have stayed in your detective mode until you find out what was really going on.
Exactly.
And, you know, but at the same time, I understand, you know, Angela processing, you know, being cheated on for years.
Yeah, but she also cheated as well.
She did. I'm not excusing
her for
that.
They also did dirt. She was unhinged, and she lacked self-control.
Very much.
And I told you, watching her in this one, I said, I could never be married to a woman like that.
And you know what I said?
And what did you say?
Something along the lines of, I'm going to start doing it.
Because you want that to be your alter ego so bad.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Not her.
Yeah.
But I also had, like, when Sheila had said, you know, how can you make rational, when they were at that brunch.
Right.
You know, how can you make, you know,
rational decisions when you're always drunk?
Yeah, when you're always intoxicated.
Exactly.
Like, you know,
she was an alcoholic. She was unhinged. She was loud. She was abrasive. She was aggressive. She was argumentative. She was toxic to the highest level.
Very toxic.
And what pissed me off is that he chose that character to be married. And
yeah, people like that are married.
Decent guy. I hate it because there are women that don't act like that who can't find decent men.
Okay,
and
so my thing is, because that's how powerful people history can be. You know, some people are in their relationship because of the glory days of the relationship.
That's a really good point.
You know what I'm saying? And to them, you know, whatever. But when Marcus decides to get tired of it, which I didn't see their spinoff show, you know, Marcus will get tired of it.
The spinoff show carried on the same way. Mm-hmm. And they eventually, toward the end, got tired of each other, but then it cut off.
Mm.
But yeah.
I don't know. So I don't have much to say about
that. I don't either.
When it comes to Terry and Diane.
Mm.
Okay, Jonathan doesn't like Diane. She trash.
I could say that myself.
Okay, sorry.
Diane shouldn't be married. That's what I meant by she's trash. She showed in part one that she wasn't maritable. Oh, she wasn't the Mary, the Mary type.
A wife.
A wife. Okay. Well, what's different from me saying married? Maritable?
Because she is married.
She shouldn't be, though.
Okay.
Yeah, she shouldn't be married. She shouldn't be married. She didn't want to be a wife in part one. She did not want
to.
She didn't want to be a wife, and she also didn't want to be a mother. She said she compromised for even the girl. she said, "Don't get me wrong, I love her."
When she came home, she gave the girl a kiss.
She rubbed the little boy on the. I didn't pay attention to that until you said something, because she still
resented
having him. So she had to compromise for the first child. Mm-hmm. She resented having the second child, mm-hmm. and she really did not show the proper respect and love as a wife to Terry. Mm-hmm. She should not have been married.
So do you think she really did something with Phil?
I think she did something with Phil. Mm-hmm. Because when Terry said...
He said that was you February rubbed up, 17th.
Yeah, and when you must have got real close. On March 8th. Because when you came home, you smelled like him. Now... You know how close you got to be on somebody to get these smell? Show them? No, okay. I was about to. Okay. You know how close you have to be? Like you, so y'all didn't do anything as far as penetration, maybe.
They may have made out.
That's enough.
No, she had on his
kissing
jacket.
And rubbing.
Maybe
and
it was cool that night in February. So
it's
just
too much affection, bro. It's too much. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. And then that made me pause the movie. And I'm like, okay, honey, now we got to talk this out.
Because I couldn't hear. That's why we paused the movie, right?
Bad joke.
Listen, I couldn't hear half the movie
she
last night.
She couldn't. I said, like, your vertigo is cutting up.
It was not my vertigo.
I'm like, okay. I said, usually when we talk about infidelity in a marriage, we say that we can find fault on both sides as to what leads up to the relation to the infidelity. We've said that on other episodes. So I said, what is it that Terry did this time? Or did he do anything to make Diane want to get attention from another man? And I couldn't find anything in the movie because I was looking through the details and, you know, what they were saying throughout from the beginning on out. I just saw the same supportive husband from part one.
She didn't want Terry.
Over to part two.
And that's why
yeah.
if I did agree to that in previous whatever, I don't think it has to be, I don't think it has to do much with the other person at all. I really think that somebody could explore infidelity without it being the fault of somebody else. It's okay. just because that's something that they wanted to do. And honestly, something that we do practice in our marriage is that we have the power to choose. And that is a hard reality to the point where Jonathan asked for us not to say that anymore. But it is the truth. I have the power to choose. We've been married 17 years, going on 18 years in July. And I literally go to bed every night and wake up every morning with the power to choose if I want to be here. And he has that same exact power. I have the power to choose to entertain people that find me attractive or, you know, want to take me out and all of that. And he has the same power to choose if he want to hit on somebody or compliment a lady or all of that. We literally reserve that individual power. And Diane just did not choose Terry. She chooses Terry when she has no other resolve.
Right.
Yeah.
So right.
That's that.
And so she should have just left?
I don't think she should have just left because she still wants Terry to be a choice. But if she's not willing to give into the relationship as much as Terry, if she's not going to reciprocate it, then she does need to reevaluate why she's choosing Terry. And that's what I said in the other thing.
In the first one.
Yeah, in our first review, when I review part one, is that he provides that security and that convenience for her.
Right.
And that's why she chooses him. But emotionally choosing him, that man trying to spend time with you, that man want to take you out. Remember, you work 12-hour days. What do you want from me?
Exactly.
What she was saying, but you got time for Phil.
Time for Phil.
You know what I'm saying? You thinking about Phil.
Trash.
Phil is on your mind. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're just choosing not Terry. I don't know. Maybe you're no, I mean, they've been together since college. Maybe you're not attractive with him. Maybe y'all didn't grow together. You know, maybe you just, you know, don't find him funny. You know, she said, he makes me laugh. I don't know.
That's, what did you say?
That gets me when I hear women say that. And even when I watch the Kendra G show, somebody to make me laugh. What? Like, how is that a criteria? Like, I don't know. No judgment zone.
But no judgment. Judgment. Please.
That is please. Nothing that I have ever said. He makes me laugh. I don't understand how that's relationship. People make me laugh in a day to say that that's a relationship criteria.
That is insane.
You know what I'm to out hear in the street, you say it, how many yeah. men open a door for me to right. say that's a relationship criteria? Dang. Like, some things is basic. I mean, I don't. I'm choking on the fact that he makes me laugh. No, you're trying. I don't know, but and I know Tyler Perry be making you laugh unless right. you choose not to laugh. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. That just is beyond me or whatever.
And
so
well, that's why I say him. The standards that men and women have are in hell. That's what I mean. Jeez. Because laughing or making you laugh is a standard that women have for men.
Dang! So men don't make people laugh. That's I'm going into the office tomorrow. Bro. I'm pretty sure I'm going to laugh like 6,000 times.
After we talk up with Gavin and Patricia, I'm going to read a post from Facebook to kind of qualify the standards on hell for men and women uh-huh. to see for you to know why I keep saying that.
Yeah. But so if crazy. Diane, just say she's more physically attractive to Phil, you know, she likes that they share common things because he's a lawyer and he works for another firm. Those are the reason why you like his charm. You like his smile. You like the way he talks to you, you know, and I can understand that now being on Diane's side.
Oh,
you okay. know, well, not all the way on her side, but you know, I can understand the newness of a relationship. And that's something that I tried to explain to my husband. Because he tells me when I want him to do certain things.
You don't tell me to do certain things. You don't. You say that though we're not romantic like we used to do. But you don't say specifically what that looks like.
Because I need you to do it.
See what I'm saying?
Okay, I'll give you a list. I'll write you a list
yeah,
today.
Yeah, give me
okay.
a and you so know I'll
do
it.
So I want Jonathan to do beginning romantic stuff, you know, because I want to feel new
and that's fine.
Chased and all of that.
Name some stuff
no,
we did
I don't
in the
want to get to that part. But what I want to say is that he told me our relationship too old for that.
No.
He said our relationship has matured beyond those stages. I said, and those are the type of things that we don't need to do no more.
No, I said our relationship has evolved past that
that's
cushy...
What I said.
Romantic. Not okay. Let me not use romantic. No, you're getting caught up on the word. No, stop. The cushy honeymoon phase.
Yeah,
we're evolved past, and this is what I mean. This is what I mean.
I want you to make me laugh.
And yeah, I do make you laugh. And we talk. There are transitions in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, everything is fresh, new. It smells like a new car. But as you keep driving that car, you put mileage on it.
Yeah,
it loses it loses the smell, right? It starts to break down a little bit, mm-hmm. right?
Dang,
now
you
can buy a new car smell air freshener,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't smell like the new car. It's evolved past that, so you have to learn how to now adjust to the new smell. And that's what I was talking about with me and you.
We got a new smell.
Now the car's still reliable. It's still durable. We've invested a lot of time and money into the engine. Got some dings in it, but it is still a strong horse.
But you know what? Now Cactus Car Wash is closed. But anytime I used to leave Cactus and they spray that new car smell, that junk was new.
No, that it's no.
I liked it.
It has the essence of
it
new.
It was better than the new car smell.
Okay, so I work around a lot of new vans because of where I work.
Y'all's vans smell like oil.
No, Eva. I smell like that. I'm talking about the vans that come off the end of the production line.
Uh-huh.
When you open that door, it's new. It's a new leather, new plastic. It's
like
a new car. Your car still smells like new car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why you're used to it, because you've been driving a new car for so long.
Mm.
But when you spray the spray
it
and you compare it.
It amplifies it.
Nah, it's different.
Nah.
So that's what I meant. So you got
to... You told
you,
me to get over
you
it.
Have to... No, I didn't. You have to... And this is a good point I'm trying to make. Stop being funny for a second. When marriages get to a certain point in evolution, they just have to find what romanticism looks like at that level. It can't look like honeymoon. It can't look
Why can't it?
It can't look because it's we have careers. We have kids that have extracurriculars. Baby, I ask you to stop being funny. I'm making a point. Okay? You are. We have careers. We have kids. We have the extracurriculars. We have a house we have to manage. So the time that we had available in the beginning, like new relationships and new marriages have, from year 1 to year 5, that's the range we give. It looks different.
So this is my problem, and this is why I was not being funny. It may have sounded like it because I'm trying to be light with the conversation, but we never had a honeymoon phase ever, unless you want to count us being 16 and 17 before our relationship was even official.
Right.
That's not honeymoon phase for me. We got married.
Why is that not?
Because, Jonathan, I'm 16.
Now 17? And we were doing, and we said, and you said, at our ages, we acted.
So you mean to tell me you weren't even my boyfriend at 16 and 17?
We were. We just didn't put a title on it.
Okay. We didn't even do boyfriend and girlfriend things.
We did. I can name
them. Okay, we ain't had sex.
No, and that's where people fail. Okay, we didn't. Okay, but let me name them.
Okay, can I go now? Go ahead. Can I let you go? Okay, what I'm saying is I am about to be 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have not experienced a real honeymoon phase.
You have.
Okay,
sorry.
You can't tell me what I've experienced.
Babe, this is what Mike did with Sheila. Perspective that Mike had, this is what you're doing.
Okay.
And let me explain it to you. This is our honeymoon phase look like this. Constant walks on the beach.
Okay, and maybe five times.
No, we did it more than that.
Okay.
We used to go on constant walks on the battery and talk.
I remember
and spend
twice.
Each other time. No, we did it more than
okay,
twice.
Okay, Jonathan, we in high school.
Okay.
We had jobs. We had after school activities. And we were 16, 17. And it was no real... I mean, yes, we went to the beach a few times. Yes, we went to the battery. But grown folks' relationship stuff.
Or going to the mall and spending time and shopping.
All teenagers go to the mall. I'm saying you're being Mike right now. You're remembering the roses and all of that. And all of that side. I'm being Sheila. I'm telling you, that is not my status of what I want to say. That was a honeymoon phase. That is not the expectation of it.
Because you're looking at a honeymoon phase in your adult lens. And I'm talking
and
about...
And I'm telling you, in my adult lens, I've never had it. You're trying to tell me I have.
In the perspective of our relationship you have.
Had,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so you're talking about teenage romantic stuff. I'm pretty sure anybody who dated as a teenager did all of those things. Or the same like things. I'm telling you.
And they got married?
I don't care what they did. I'm just saying I'm preserving the experience you're talking about as a teenage experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying in my adult life, 18 and beyond, I have not experienced the honeymoon. I have not experienced, you know.
Because you got married at 18.
Okay.
So it looks different. And
you're
that's what I'm talking
about.
No, I'm really not.
I'm saying, so that does not mean that we can't redeem the time of some moments and our current stage in our relationship.
Redeeming the time, again, to what I was saying, looks different.
Okay.
And that's why I was admonishing any marriages and how it looks different based on where they are in their lives.
I get because
mortgages, bills, kids, careers, that honeymoon, romantic stage, back to my
so
point.
So how Diane still had time to do it with Phil?
Because it was a new person, which was a new relationship all the way in the beginning. She didn't do it with Terry. You said she had time and she should have. And this is what I was trying to tell you. She should have quantified your word and how romantic phase looked like for her and Terry where they were. But it couldn't have looked like what her and Phil's looked like. Because they hadn't evolved. They haven't intertwined their lives yet. Once you intertwine your life and everything, your families,
so we need to,
all of that, you can't. But once you intertwine all of that,
we just talk about choices.
You cannot sit there and say, well, I want it to look like how theirs look. And when they don't have kids, they don't have shared responsibilities.
I get that.
They don't have shared bills. They don't have shared careers. They don't have shared lives. I want our romantic stage to look like that. And it can't.
All we got to do is share.
You're 10 years in. You're 15 years in. You're 20 years in. Romanticism can exist. but you have to make it look like how your present reality is and make it work and stop trying to compare the 20-year-old car to the 1-year-old car. That is what I meant by we've evolved past that. That's all I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, sir.
Okay, so give me a list and how that looks at 17 years okay, in.
And you're going to do what is on the list.
As long
and
as,
then you can give me a list,
as long as you do it honor, as long as you do it honestly and not in a trolling attitude. And we're
what's
and we can
trolling?
Do it. What you do. What our joy does. And you know what I mean. You're a troll.
I'm not going to troll.
And I love you.
I'm going to be very detailed. Specific. I think I'm
dang, I wish I had my sound
effect.
That's
how serious said, I am. Yeah, I pronounced it correctly.
You said specific.
Yes, I'm actually going to do it like a project plan.
Okay, project manager.
Mm-hmm.
Getting you a project management bag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool deal. Man, we spent a lot of time on that, but that was a good conversation.
So who was that, Terry and Diane?
That was Terry and Diane.
Terry was perfect.
Yeah, Terry was a good husband. I didn't see anything. He was a supportive friend and a good husband. I didn't see anything wrong
so
with him.
So most of the men were good in this movie. The women were trash.
Thank you.
That was something.
Thank
it.
You. And the thing
Diane,
is, and
trash.
That's why.
Sheila, trash.
And that's why when people always give Tyler Perry a bad rap and how it always works out for the woman, I'm like, all right, y'all really ain't paying attention.
Patricia
he
trash.
Actually shows trash on both sides, mm-hmm. men and women. So get that man
Angela
some credit.
Trash. So now, Gavin and
this is going to take us over the hour.
Well, I'm gonna let you take the wheel.
Gavin
was awesome. All right, now you can take the wheel.
Okay, thank you for letting me take the wheel. Patricia was what was wrong with the entire relationship. She was what was absolutely wrong from part one to part two. Perfect Patty never makes mistakes. Perfect Patty didn't check to make sure the baby car seat. We're fine. We're going to be okay. Not sharing, not talking, not being true and honest with herself. While all the while still trying to not only fix and diagnose and fix her husband, but diagnose and fix everybody else.
That was my point about Patricia. You only as strong as your circle. Mm-hmm. You only as strong as your influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And being that all of these women who were all emotionally broken,
yeah,
who were all that, look to Patricia
mm-hmm.
for their guidance, for their romantic edification, mm-hmm. for their learning, are all broken women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Patricia, I believe.
I just got a download. Keep talking.
Was the reason for Patricia's guidance. And her, even though she tried to use different tools and techniques, but the fruit of her teaching was shown in Angela and Marcus's relationship, in Mike's and Sheila's, and now in Sheila's and Troy's. I'm trying to be nosy to see what he's writing. And in Diane and Terry's relationship. To the point where Patricia act out, and this is how strong Patricia's loyalty was. When Patricia act out at the consultation about their divorce, and Patricia was dead wrong at that table, the way Diane looked and disregarded Gavin, you could tell where Diane's loyalty was to her client, of course, but it also was on a very personal level.
To her friend, yeah.
Yeah, because the toxicity of how the support of Patricia just was just dead wrong.
Yeah. What I wrote was Patricia was an addict.
She definitely was.
She got high off of fixing other people.
Mm.
She did.
I wouldn't say she got high off. I see what you're saying. She was an addict to perfectionism.
Yeah, so you can add that as a caveat. She got high off of perfectionism and fixing others. While she is going through a tumultuous time with her husband, she still can give advice. She still can counsel.
I think people
can coach.
No, I think people still can when they're going through.
An autopilot?
No, not only an autopilot, honey. When we went through half of what we went through at that same time, anytime I got a call, text, I was so able to be level-headed, honest, and transparent about what we was going through. When I'm giving advice to my friends or random people that just called me up and wanted, you know, to run something by me.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point, not only in our romantic life, even when my mom died, I was still able to function at a capacity to comfort other people that were also experiencing grief at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's not to say if a doctor has a cold doesn't mean they can't diagnose something else with somebody else and, you know, write the right prescription and stuff like that.
That's a good point.
Just because you're going really through something mean, you cannot be emotionally available to somebody else. It just means that you need to practice how to self-help,
be selfless, but self-full.
No, yeah, be self-full. Now, I'm saying if your cup low, yeah, you take care of your cup. You take your medicine, you do all of that. But once I got my medicine in my system and my body is doing the work, you know, I should be able to contribute something if I want to.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that Patricia couldn't. Patricia couldn't is because she was in denial.
Right.
I like how you used the term she was an addict.
Yeah.
She has so many other holes in her cup. You know what I'm saying? That she couldn't get enough for her to pass around.
That's good.
But she continued to pass around.
Right.
So, yeah. And the other glimpse that we got when either Marcus or somebody made reference to how crazy Patricia was back in the day. Oh, boy, we saw that come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I had my little crazy side, too. You know? But yeah, it's like we all have those people or those attitudes that we had to bury to be our evolved self.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We all have, I don't know if you want to call them skeletons or, you know, triggers and all of that. And I think Patricia lived her life in a way that she just buried everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the how confident she was when they were at the fireworks thing, you know, standing on the platform to say, Gavin and I have decided. Girl, you ain't talk to that man at all.
You ain't talk to that man at all. And that's also something I said on the couch. I said, she never gave Gavin a voice. She never gave her husband a voice in the entire relationship. And when it came to the dissolution table for the divorce, he said, I've been starving in this marriage for 14 years.
Waiting for you to
love me. He has literally been fighting and waiting to love. Even back to one, when he was trying to talk to them about the son that they lost, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, listen, I'm here. Let's talk about him. You can't act like Noah never existed because here he is still trying to fight to get his wife back to where he know that she can be. And she never wanted to fight with him. She treated him like a project.
But I like how you said when we was on the couch watching it, you know, that Patricia was really mad with herself.
Yeah, she was upset and mad with herself.
Mm-hmm.
That is an absolute fact. And when they came over to comfort her and they were all on the stairs and she was just crying and breaking down, that's when I said it. I said, normally, you know, it's easy to be angry with or deflect to be angry with somebody else as a way to deny that you're really upset and angry with yourself.
Yeah.
And
when she made it over the money.
She made it over the money, but it wasn't over the money. It was over the fact that she could not get a grip on her relationship and her marriage while giving out marital and relationship advice because she did not know how to get a grip on herself.
I don't think it was that. I think it was because Patricia is really that selfish.
The same thing I just said.
Well, get a grip on her marriage.
And herself.
I think it was bigger than her marriage. Patricia, in my humble opinion, was, I don't know. I think her character was worse than Mike's character.
It's more dangerous than Mike's character.
I think it's worse.
Baby, we're saying the same. When I say dangerous and you say worse, you don't hear the same thing. Why do you do that all the time?
Because I don't hear the same thing.
Go ahead, my bad.
You know, Patricia and Mike is like Trump and Obama, right? You know, with Mike, a.k.a. Trump, you know what you're going to get.
Mm.
But Patricia, you know, she comes off. Obama shouldn't have been used there. I need another person.
You?
I'm going to use Candace Owens. You know?
Ew.
She comes off nice and all. No, I like Candace Owens.
Babe, okay, don't say.
I need another person.
Now I got to take that out. You cannot see her.
Why?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I don't like Candace Owens. But I don't know who else to compare her to. But I rather Biden.
Okay.
Biden. You know, and the reason why. So let me start over so you can, you know, edit this part out. So Mike and Patricia is like Trump and Biden. Mike being Trump, I know what I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come off in his mouth. He's going to say what he's going to say and all of that. Patricia being Biden, I don't know what's I don't know what's gonna come out.
He's a little erratic.
And you send your representative all day long. Right. I don't know how you truly feel about anything, really.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think
if you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just You don't know what you're gonna get, and I think those types of people are the most dangerous.
They are. And also, what I feel like she is more dangerous than Mike is because I'm basically gonna repeat. I'm gonna regurgitate what you just said.
Go ahead, do it.
That was bad. Mike wore his feelings on his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about transparency with Marcus and Angela. Mike never hid.
Never.
And that's honestly why
he was at the table. He was like, okay, let's do this.
Mike showed you who he really was, and he told you how he really felt. You couldn't get none of that out of Patricia.
Not at all.
Nothing. Even when her friend heard them arguing.
She said everything's gonna be okay.
You're in
denial.
In
her Michael Jackson voice.
You're in.
Everything's gonna be okay.
You're in denial, and
at the fireworks, everything's gonna be okay. You're gonna see.
Everybody's gonna be okay.
What in the world?
You know, like, never giving that man an opportunity.
She needed help.
Yeah, she needed some serious help, and it's usually I heard that doctors make the worst patients. And I also heard that they are the unhealthiest as well. Like,
yeah, their lifestyle ain't set up for all of that.
Exactly.
You know, you do a surgery for 18 hours and see how healthy you're going to eat.
Yeah.
You know, or your stress is going to be when somebody's constantly dying underneath your knife and stuff like that. It does have a psychological toll. But she in marriage and relationships. So she should be a little different.
It's just a tad bit. She was detrimental, and we saw how it ended. And it ended in Gavin losing his life, which he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have never been put in that situation. And then, you know, it goes to them in the hospital, and now she shouldn't have cared about the money. Yeah, you shouldn't have.
It was never. She was happy. She was like, "All the money gonna be mine now."
Yeah, it was. It's, she never said that.
That was what she was thinking.
Oh God,
she was excited. She got the news from the doctor, she just stood there and gazed. She was counting them dollars.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
Well, the thing
you know how I know, because when the rock came at the end, she been ready for a relationship.
Yeah, that's why I say that she's trash. So not only did you not work on your relationship, you couldn't work on yourself to make sure that you worked on your relationship. You let your husband go through 14 years of being in a relationship that never was going to benefit him without him actually finding somebody to love him. Then you put him in a position to put him in harm's way. You were the reason why he got hit. You were the reason why he died. And then at the end, you're going to walk off in the sunset with a new philanthropist, good-looking guy, and now you're happy. So you win, and you never fixed yourself. You're still the problem.
She's able to move on.
You're still the issue. And now you're just going to recreate the same toxicity in this next relationship. I hate
that
out of all of the people that we're talking about, I hate that that's how Tyler Perry chose to show the end of Patricia's character.
You know,
I wish that she would have went through something more or ended up in a worser state than what she ended up in, which was basically glory. You know, now you got all the money. Your husband, ex-husband died, and now you got a new relationship.
Okay, so
come on, man.
I think
trash.
I think the third movie should be Patricia going to trial for aggravation that caused Gavin to die. I think his employee should put in a case against her for causing that.
Oh, for what did they call it? Unrest when you are traumatized. I can't remember the language.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That should happen to her.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because
she living too good.
And then the trauma, you know, so you lost your son in a car accident because you didn't buckle him. And then you lost your husband because you irritated him, so he ran a stop sign, so he got hit. Gavin could have survived that accident. But, you know, that's not here or there.
Yeah, that was a horrible scene. I'm like, hold on. He got hit on a passenger side. Looking like about 35, 40 miles an hour.
I think Gavin wanted to give up the ghost.
Maybe he faked his death.
And he coming back.
Ooh.
Because they ain't had no funeral.
They didn't. We make it out of those clues.
Because it went from the hospital scene to them on the beach.
Yeah. No funeral. He faked his death.
He faked it.
Ooh, that's a good spinoff. Tyler Berry made that happen.
And The Rock, his friend.
Ooh, they're going to get the money.
They're going to get the money.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
But it was something that you said. Okay, so now, I mean, I can't remember when you were doing your list that I... But I can't remember right now.
When I was doing what list?
When you was counting on your fingers the different points.
You want me to redo it?
No, I don't want you to redo it. When it comes to Patricia. But Patricia's trash.
Yeah, she was trash. And for any woman or any man in a relationship.
Oh, I know what it was.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you I'm do a- it. Go, baby.
Okay, so we always talk about when a woman give her life to a relationship for umpteen amount of years.
Right.
The fact is that Gavin said that he gave 14 years of his life waiting for her. I think that was very powerful and impactful to think from a man perspective. How much he sacrificed, how much woman he turned down. You know, what does the cost of choosing you, you know what I'm saying, all those years, the cost of waiting on you, the cost of having faith on you. He didn't display his faith like Sheila did, like always praying or all of that, or talking God. But Gavin lived it. He tried in his faith to help his wife process, try to understand her, see her, you know, at the same time was trying to acknowledge who he is. And I think we have to give a good man credit for, you know, sticking through tough times and wanting things to work.
That's a great point.
So I appreciate Gavin for getting that off his chest, you know, and understanding that men starve in relationships too when you're married to, you know, these, you know, women that are of status that makes and can hold their own and just have this appearance, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I just thought that was important. And also Terry. Oh, you found that job.
I found that. Yeah.
And for Terry to say, to see a man being so tentative to his wife, you know, to have calculated, it's been 62 or 63 days. You know, this happened 62 days ago.
He was very calculated.
I know that was on February 17th when you came home like this. And what about March 8th? You know, and what about, you know, these things, you know, good men don't get the credit when they are doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate those characters for that.
Thank you for bigging up the men.
And one more. I like how Troy, even though he was displaying his anger, his turnaround time was quick to fix issues.
It was.
You know what I'm saying? I liked how Sheila...
He was self-reflective.
Yeah. I like how Sheila was like, okay, you put me in a bad space. You know,
communicating.
It happened right then
right.
and there.
It didn't wait.
Troy was able to turn around and respond to it. You know what I'm saying? Even to the point where Troy apologizing to Mike, you know, like, I shouldn't hit you or whatever. And then Mike's like, well, you should have known your wife. But we ain't going to delve into that
part
yet.
Yeah, we ain't going.
But
just
the fact is that Troy... You know,
corrected it without letting time go by.
Always wanted to, you know,
and that is how you have to air out grievances so that you don't give time and space to harbor resentment, hate, or anger, so you can resolve it. Like, you know, you have to go through conflict when you are in a relationship so you can get past the shallow stage, so you can build a healthier and strong relationship. But you still have to address the conflict. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure you address it in a timely manner. Don't just brush it off. Don't say time to heal all wounds. None of that stuff. All that stuff is passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. The time won't heal the wound. You addressing the wound heals the wound.
Using the time to dress the
wound. Yeah, address the wound to heal the wound. So that was good, man.
Okay.
You got anything else for the characters?
No,
We had our hour, but I did say I was going to read that post when I said, you know, to make me say that the standards for men and women are in hell. Mm-hmm. So I commented on a post yesterday, and this is how the post reads. Oh my God. If a man lives with you and isn't working,
I saw this,
but cleans, cook, watch the kids, and gets 600 in food stamps, does that make up for him not working? And the guy that had posted it said, yes, and he's the man of the house. And I honestly believe he feels that way. He may be
trolling. With that post?
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly.
Dang.
I agree
with the post.
I said, man, y'all standards for men is in hell. He better take his behind to work and doing the other stuff as well. He needs work. I know that we like to use a man on work, he don't eat, but there is truth to that saying.
What if this is saving on childcare? It depends on the age of the children.
He still needs to work. Even if he's working while he's taking care of the house, you need some type of work. I don't respect a man that is not in some kind of work.
If he's okay, are they married in this post?
Well, no, it doesn't say that.
Oh, because
he's getting $600 in food stamps. Yeah, I was going to ask
how he gets $600 in food stamps.
Trash.
Wait, because if they marry and they get $600 in food stamps, her income is calculated in that, so they really need that.
They do really need that. So even if he has a baby, I'm just talking about the aspect of that man being 100% homemaker without having some type of work.
We're missing context.
Well, this is all we have.
Maybe he's a YouTuber.
That's still, in my opinion, that's still work.
It could be left out.
Okay. All I'm saying is the man, a man. Let's keep with the context here.
A man lives with you. A man lives with you?
Trash.
So they call that hobosexuals. Yeah, because some men move around with women.
Yes, because they don't have a place to stay.
So he isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But he cleans. That's big.
That is big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he cooked.
Okay.
That's big.
Okay.
And he watched the kids. And he bringing in groceries. $600 a month in food stamps.
So he the woman?
No, he the man.
Oh, he
does
the man.
Does that make up for him not working?
See what it says at the end?
Make up for him not working. So he's not in pursuit of work?
He is not working, babe.
But is he in pursuit of work?
Babe, you have to stop adding. The post is the post.
The post is the post?
The post is the post. Mm-hmm. Is he considered a man? And does that make up for him working?
I mean, he's still a man.
No, he's not. He's a boy. He's not a man.
Who wouldn't enjoy just having to clean and cook and watch kids?
A man shouldn't. Mm. And I'm speaking as a man.
I'd take it for $600.
You wouldn't respect me if that was me.
Oh, of course I wouldn't.
Okay.
But if you're cooking and cleaning and I... you're cooking, you're cleaning, and I don't have to do house stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I could just go to work and come home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You would look at the standard that I have set for you for a husband. You're telling me you would respect me if I did all of this and didn't work?
How much I making?
Eva, answer the question. If I did all this and didn't work.
Well, you ain't getting $600 in food stamps being married to me.
Why?
Because you wouldn't qualify for $600. You wouldn't qualify for food stamps.
So what if I'm buying it on the cheap? I'm still bringing $600.
You know, and all you got to do is cook and clean and take care of all the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm taking it.
So you're accepting that standard of a man for me.
It's not, I'm not talking about the
I'm
standard.
I'm asking you a question.
Okay, what's the standard of a man?
You told me I have completely messed you up with how you see what a real man is.
Yeah, but I ain't talking about you working.
Eve, what?
Okay, first of all, my dream is to retire him anyways. So
retire me to do what?
I don't want you to have retire to work outside the house.
Retire me to do what?
I don't want you to have to work outside the house.
What does that mean?
Okay, I want you to be able to focus on the podcast.
That's work.
And stuff like that. Okay.
That's our business.
Okay.
That's our brand.
Okay. I want Jonathan to be able to focus on our business.
Yes.
So when he's focusing on our business, he will do all the cooking. He will do the cleaning. And hopefully he do all the kids' stuff.
You got another thing coming.
I'll still fold clothes.
You got another.
I'll still clean the refrigerator.
You got another thing coming to the system.
What else I'll do?
I will not come off a job, Dan, if that's going to be the parameters.
You would not want to do that?
Heck no.
Okay, you can keep working. What? So you wouldn't want to just clean what you like doing anyways.
I don't like cleaning.
Well, you put on music, you can get it done. Cooking. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be a chef.
Yeah, I don't want to do that no more. That's why I didn't follow. That's why I didn't do that.
And these kids you wanted to have.
Yeah, but I love them, but I need my space.
Listen.
A man for me, in my humble opinion, as a man, needs some kind of work. He needs to be able to take pride. So what if you're doing the work on your business and you're bringing
money in?
Say what now?
So what if you're doing the work on your business, but you ain't bringing money in? Is that still okay?
That's still a dream. And I think that a woman is in her right to support her man's dream if he is actively pursuing it, even though he's not reaping the benefits
right
now.
So if this post had read, if a man lives with you and isn't working, seeking a rap career, but cleans, cook, watch.
Okay, say something else. Not rap career.
You said a dream.
Something else. Dreaming another way.
Okay. A shoe selling business.
Okay.
Okay, you could take that?
Yeah, I could take that.
Okay.
Yeah. He ain't making no money. Like, I don't know.
But you said long hard. You do your business.
Bro, it's hard for me to be compromising in how I feel about a man not bringing in any money. I'm not going to lie. Like, you have to be able to bring in something to contribute to the house. Especially how we are not in old days and times. I understand it takes two incomes, and bro, the economy is the economy, and you ain't trying to bring in nothing to help that woman at all. Man, we just had this conversation when we talked about acrimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I still felt like that man should have worked.
She needed help. And that post don't say she needed help.
You're right, but if he is able to get $600, she need help. She needs help.
Well, he could just say if a man lives with you, that ain't even got to be her man. It says just if a man lives with you.
Oh, come on. That's an easy insinuation.
A man lives with you.
And what woman wouldn't want the help? You know, she don't want to do it by herself.
That's what I'm saying. Any
woman that, you know, it has some kind of traditional understanding doesn't want to do it by herself. She does it out of necessity because she has to, but that don't mean she wants to.
That's what I'm saying.
And if you are living with that woman, as a man, it is your job now to help. I'm sorry, dog.
So cooking, cleaning, and doing the kids isn't help? Because that's what y'all want women for.
It is, but also...
And that's a
because,
lot of work.
Because security is a... Can you stop, honey?
Why?
Because you're distracting. You can't juggle good, and you're distracting me.
You keep distracting you?
Distracting me. You keep about to drop the ball. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You can squeeze. Can you squeeze it?
I don't like the way that feels.
No, that's part of the stress ball. No, anyways,
this is
you tell me that a woman is high in security. Y'all need security. And especially financial. So he could be doing all of that, but it still won't trump the financial security that I think that you
but
know,
what if
she
he working
if he
at
works.
What if he working at that steel company you used to work for in Clarksville?
It's work. It's work.
You said it was slave labor.
Bro, that was slave. I said, ain't no way y'all paying these people.
Was it what, $10 an hour?
Yeah, it was like 12 or something.
And they had like John niggas, he had muscles.
Bro, I was lifting water heaters, dog. I'm like, nah, no.
They saw you in that interview.
No. No, sir.
Boy, I was happy when they saw you.
No.
How many water heaters you took off the line?
Body. Boy, I left that job so fast. You crazy.
Was you there a week?
No, I was only there for like 2 days.
I think you did more than two.
No, I didn't. Okay. It was bad. I say, this is sleep, bro. Y'all got me slinging water heaters in there. Like, babe, when I tell you, I don't even understand how they were still open. Like, if OSHA would have walked through that building, shut down.
Okay, why? Because I don't remember these details.
So the water heaters... would come on a conveyor.
Mm-hmm.
They were hooked on two hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the top of the platform, you have the low platform here, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll come down, and as soon as they get here,
it's your job
to grab it, lift it off the hook, turn, and then put it on this elevator that takes it around to where it's sprayed and like the beginning priming part or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there and you're doing that all day. Boom.
You
are not supposed to be lifting that like that. They didn't offer no back brace. they offered some gloves.
The gloves?
But that was it.
Wait, so...
Back gone.
Why do I remember or feel as though somebody was happy that you was big?
The guy that walked me to the line. Well, the guy walked me to the line. The guy he introduced me to. Uh-huh. He was like, "Oh yeah, man, we gonna need you." No, sir, y'all not.
And then when we moved back to Charleston, somebody saw you at Walmart and said, "Look like you've been lifting refrigerators." You know, the water eaters.
Boy, no.
Think about how fit you would have been if you had stayed.
Nah, I'm good. I eventually still went to a fit job, the Walmart Distribution Center.
Yeah,
that I actually enjoyed that. It was a fast pace and it was exhausting, but I enjoyed that job. But yeah, that was funny. But look, like I've been lifting refrigerators. You doggone right, I've been lifting refrigerators. Doggone water heaters. Some doggone water heaters was heavy, dog. I'm like, y'all want people. And then it were 10-hour days. We worked 5 tens. You lifting water heaters for 10 hours a day, Eva? What is wrong with y'all? But yeah, that was the story. And although my wife is laughing at me,
I'm not laughing anymore.
We were laughing together. Let's say that. It was a lot. But yeah, I think we did a good job. It was a good conversation. I don't know what the next movie is going to be.
Do you have any suggestions? Oh.
You got it?
Yeah, but you ain't going to like it, so I ain't going to say it.
You shouldn't have said that then. Mm-hmm. Now I got to know. You know I hate that. That pen trash. That thing ain't going right. Dang, it's a long title. This is what makes you a troll.
Oh.
No, this is what makes you a troll.
That is a good relationship to analyze. No, it is
not. I am not doing this with you. She wrote down Forrest Gump and Jenny.
We need to talk about that.
Get off. You know what? I'm going to cut your mic off. You are so irritating.
How? Why are you trolling?
Why are you programmed this way?
So Forrest Gump don't have similarities to Gavin.
Stop. What is wrong with you?
Jenny. I'm just saying.
You are.
Jenny ain't put that man through.
Jenny on the block.
And then leave that man with that boy, with the son. And Forrest ain't getting no paternity test.
Y'all see what I go through?
Forrest, this is what I have to do. And Jenny need to go on the Steve Wolfolk show. Well, Jenny died, though, didn't it?
Yeah, she did. Janae. Anyways, we don't know what the next movie that we're going to go through to talk about to relate it to real life and relationships, but you will soon find out. But I think this has been a good conversation. You have anything else to add? Why your face look like that?
Because I was about to say something about Forrest Mama.
Okay. Anyways, like I said, this has been a great conversation. From us to y'all, we'll catch y'all on the flip side.
Peace.
Peace.